the Holy Spirit. You know, it's interesting that of the Trinity, Christians probably know the least about the Holy Spirit. I mean, it's pretty consistent. And when George Barna did one of his reaching out to different churches to find out what people knew about the Holy Spirit, about 70% said, we don't really understand what the Holy Spirit is. Those are Christians. Those are committed Christians. So that's amazing. That's amazing. But I think it could be true that you could say that we do not focus on the Holy Spirit, perhaps, as much as we do on the first two parts of the Trinity. And the Holy Spirit is, I mean, other than Lynn, who is an expert on it, but I know there's quite a few in here that probably have really dug deep into it. But the Holy Spirit is marvelous because that is what indwells within us. Amen. I mean, that is what puts us in the body of Christ. So it's kind of an outreach directly to God, directly to the Lord. Puts us in the body of the church, the Christ's body. And it's what is God placing himself within us. So it's marvelous. It's marvelous. But just talking about what's going on today, why it's important that we realize what the Holy Spirit is. Yes, sir.
Just wanted Tim. To ask a question to help you get this.
Sure.
There's a good question that I've asked several elders, so this time you ask. Mark, have you ever been apprehended? They already know I told them. Apprehended.
Yes.
Yeah, thank you.
Yes.
Right answer. Okay.
But in some ways, you could call that apprehended kind of feeds into the indwelling, the filling, and the baptism
and
of the Holy Spirit. And the regeneration. It's all regeneration. Yeah. Absolutely.
Apprehended.
Absolutely. All right. Well, you've taught half my lesson, Tim. So, yeah, Ann.
I find most Christians that talk about the Holy Spirit as what it is, what the Holy Spirit is, not who he is.
Okay.
He is the third person of the Trinity.
Absolutely.
He's not an object.
The third person of the Trinity.
And I'm guilty of the same thing.
Well, we'll be going through that too, as well. Yeah. We'll be doing both. Thomas, you...
The Holy Spirit is a he.
Yes, he is.
He's not neuter gender. Exactly. And John violated the Greek grammar for that specific purpose. So people would know. And Jesus did too. He, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will comfort you. He will teach you and show you all those things that I've commanded. Yeah. Oh, and he violated Greek grammar because of it specifically. It's a neuter,
that's great.
It's a neuter word.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Well, getting into the intro, you know, do you feel like Elijah at times? Talking about somebody that was filled with the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And it says that very clearly in Scripture. This gentleman is filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, Old Testament times, a little bit different than the covenant that we have now. Mm-hmm. But, you know, surrounded by all these people who are following Baal, marching around, following Baal. Doesn't it feel like we're in a situation like that right now as Christians? And mocking God. We see mocking God a lot, don't we? Which is just amazing. I mean, we didn't see that maybe 20 years ago, but it's terrible. And then quote from the Scripture, trampling underfoot the Son of God, his sacrifice, and insulting the Spirit of grace. The Holy Spirit. And then also written, Mark, that is Hebrews 10:29, and also written, blaspheming the Holy Spirit. And as you know, that's the unpardonable sin. That's pretty heavy. And that is written, that scripture is Mark 3:28-29. So we hear a lot about trans. That's the new big word, right? That's not new to a Christian, is it? It's not new to a Christian at all. I mean, the important trans is complete transformation. As it says in the Scripture, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind to discern the will of God and what is good, acceptable, and perfect. Romans 12:2. And then, be transformed into the image of God, who comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Who is the Spirit? 2 Corinthians 3:18. So that's the transformation we're talking about. That's the true transformation. And then with the demise of Pride Month, it's interesting to recall that the foundational sin of Satan was what? Pride. And counter to that is Christian character, which is humility and gratitude. Totally counter to pride. Pride is a fleshly sin. And that is the foundation of everything for Satan and his demons. It starts with pride. We see a lot of that going on now. And in this time, people, quote, are hating God's decree that those who do such wicked things deserve death. They not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them. And this is from Romans 1:32. I mean, the big thing there, of course, is these people are approving of those who are practicing wickedness, and they're saying it's good. They're twisting the truth. So we're called by our Lord to have courage and stand fast and partner with the Holy Spirit to advance and rebuff the enemy. That's not always easy, is it? It's pretty tough. So today let's consider what the Lord directed us to do with the Holy Spirit's attributes and our spiritual gifts. So what we will do is I want to first look at what Jesus said directly about the Holy Spirit. And so if I can start with Tim, would you be kind enough, sir, to read John 14, 15 through 17.
Verse 15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you.
Thank you. The thing that pops up to me here, well, first of all, is the guarantee, the Spirit of truth. This is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, and he will be with you forever. So this is eternal. This, the Lord, God is giving us this gift, and it's an eternal gift. And it's interesting here because it says the world does not know. The world does not know. What does that mean? What do you think that means?
They can't perceive it.
They can't receive it? Perceive it. Okay, they can't perceive it, they can't receive it either, right? Okay, thanks, Marilyn. Okay, they can't perceive it.
They don't understand it.
They don't understand it.
That's now, what Nicodemus said to Jesus. He couldn't understand how he could be born out of water.
Amen, amen. Yeah, Gil.
And as Jesus said to Nicodemus, unless you're born again, you can't see the kingdom of God.
Absolutely. Amen. Amen. So it's exactly what you're saying. They cannot perceive it, and thus they can't receive it. Absolutely. So ask and provide, being with us forever. And then what does the Lord say about orphans? I mean, the apostles were a bit scared at this point. Saying, well, what is he talking about? He keeps saying he's going to leave. He keeps talking about being put to death. And so the Lord comes back and says, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I mean, they're worrying. Our leader's being taken away. So if we take a look at John 14, 18 through 21, and Gil, would you read that, sir?
I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. In that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him.
Okay, thank you. So the Lord is saying to his disciples, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. Yes, I'm leaving, but the Helper is coming. The Paraclete is coming. The Lord is sending the Paraclete. And it's interesting because we see this total relationship between Christ and the Helper. Between Christ and the Helper. So I'm not leaving you as orphans. You're going to have me still with you in the situation of the Holy Spirit. So then, abiding with you, John 14:25-27. And Greg, would you read that for us, sir?
These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you.
Thank you. So in this, the Lord is saying the Holy Spirit's going to teach you. He's going to bring remembrance of everything that the Lord Jesus taught. And finally, that he will give them peace. He will give them a peace that goes beyond all understanding. And hopefully that's a peace that you all feel because of the Holy Spirit and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And then if we look, it's best for you. Now, this would be a tough one for me because he's saying, it's best for you if I go. If I go and the Helper comes to you. I probably would have said, no. We don't want to trade you in. We love you. Please don't come. And in some ways they did say that. But so best for you, John 16:7. And let's see. Thomas, would you read that, sir?
I would if I had glasses.
Oh, okay. Well,
I see a triplet when I don't have
well, Leah, Leah, can you provide Thomas with some help?
The insight with sight.
What? John 16:7.
Oh, 16. Okay. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you.
Thank you. So, you need me to go away. I mean, can you imagine standing there? Sometimes I try to imagine what it's like standing in the shoes, listening to the Lord. I mean, we have the vision from the other side of everything. And just because what these men did and women that were following the Lord is just really incredible when you think about it. There's so much unknown. Because they really did not understand everything at that point.
Mark,
yes, sir.
On that dichotomy you just talked about, Jesus as Son of Man, very human, omnipresent.
Absolutely. Holy Spirit omnipresent. Yes, sir. Good point. Excellent. That is true. And then if we go to a guide for truth, John 16:12-16. And Terry, could you read that for us?
I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you.
Okay, well, Tim pretty much explained this when he said the Holy Spirit is omnipresent, because that's exactly what it's saying here. The Holy Spirit knows all. I mean, part of the Trinity, so he knows all. He has all the attributes of God, which Bill has been teaching you all about, right? So you should be an expert on those. I think he's, 7 out of 10 so far or whatever? Okay. So all those attributes are part of the Holy Spirit as well, a direct connection. So just amazing. And then important principles. I'm going to kind of race a little bit because I want to get to the gifts, and I know that we'll have a lot of discussion on that. And this is kind of the preliminary. So attributes, important principles. You know, so this is what Jesus said directly to us and to his disciples. So this is from our Lord's mouth. And then important principles. I think I'll kind of pop through those. In John 16, it says, when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness. So the Holy Spirit is a convictor. So what do you think the darkness thinks about the Holy Spirit? Probably very uncomfortable with the Holy Spirit, right?
Yeah, they don't like to be reminded.
Where is the Holy Spirit indwelling? Probably very uncomfortable with us. Because the Holy Spirit convicts those who are doing wickedness, who are in the darkness, convicts and only speaks the truth. So that goes, this is light against the darkness. Marilyn.
I believe the Holy Spirit convicts also those who are seeking the truth. Testimonies from people of many different backgrounds, and God knows who he's saving, and he draws people to himself. And people are convicted, and they're searching for the truth. And when they read the Bible, the Lord convicts them through his word.
That is excellent. In fact, we're going to actually kind of get that in the next tranche, because there's kind of a step to the Holy Spirit as well, and that is one of the first ones, because the Holy Spirit, actually we can read where the Holy Spirit, as you said, convicts people and helps bring them to the Lord. So no, very good point. And so then we also have so as you said, Marilyn, excellent. Then regeneration, Titus, he saved us not because of righteous things we've done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. So we're saved. So we have the conviction, and then we have the rebirth. And that kind of gets back into Nicodemus a little bit with being reborn. And then we have conviction, and we have regeneration. These are the important principles. You know, so salvation through mercy and regeneration. The Holy Spirit is a gift. The Holy Spirit is a gift from God. And then indwelling. At the moment, it's instantaneous and it's unending residence of the Holy Spirit within us. That is what indwelling means. So as soon as we come to the Lord, the Holy Spirit indwells us. That's automatic. At that same time. And it is eternal. It's eternal. And let's see, that's in 1 John.
Mark.
Yes. Sure.
Even though the Holy Spirit is eternally ours, once we've been convicted and we turn our life over to the Lord, we can resist.
Well, you can grieve the Holy Spirit.
Of the Holy Spirit. For disobedience, after we become believers, we grieve the Holy Spirit and we suffer because of that. Okay.
Absolutely, and that's an excellent point. And that kind of gets back to being filled, which we'll talk about at the end, which is kind of a balance going back and forth. And so 1 John just says, the one who keeps God's commands lives in him and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit that he gave us, the Spirit that he gave us, indwelling. And then baptism, there's been lots of discussion about baptism of the Holy Spirit. And the way we see it is, once again, that is instantaneous when you come to the Lord. But it has to do with you're baptized into the body of Christ. The body of Christ. The Holy Church. Think of the marriage supper of the Lamb. We're baptized into that. So a little bit different, but so just try to wrap your idea, I mean your head around that. So baptism has to do with being baptized into the body of Christ. If you think of Peter's writings, remember he said that we are a holy priesthood. We are stones. You know, Peter loved stones because that was his name, the rock. But recall in Peter, he talks about we are building stones, we're building blocks, but each one of us is a holy priesthood. It's because of the Holy Spirit indwelling in us. But we build together the church of Christ, each one of us, as a building stone. So kind of think of that. Think of that. So it's interesting because this is a kind of a different perspective, once again, being within the body of Christ. Okay, and then... And then sealing. So if we get into sealing, once again, that is 2 Corinthians. And is God who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us and who has put his seal on us and given us his Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. It's interesting with a sealing. Once again, it's somebody can look at us and say that person has the Holy Spirit. We're sealed, and it's a seal that is not removed. It's eternal. And I kind of think of it in some ways, you get into the end times, and the bad folks, the wicked folks, have a seal on them, a number. I feel that we have a holy seal because of the Holy Spirit, which indwells within us. And it shows that we are God's, we are His. And you can think of a signet ring going back into the old times, especially with the Persian kings. I mean, remember when Darius had sealed this law, and then the folks that wanted to throw Daniel into the lion's den said, you sealed this law with your signet ring. You can't take it back. Daniel has to go into the lion's den. So it was. With us, the Lord has sealed us with His Holy Spirit. And that is for eternity. So let us go to now. The attributes from Dr. Michael Easley here are put in there, and that is thanks to Lynn. Lynn heard his sermon on the Holy Spirit many years ago, and she saved the attributes, and I think that's really a good thing to have. I'm not going to go into all of them. I think we've kind of discussed them, because I would like to go to the spiritual fruit and then the gifts. So we can discuss gifts, and everybody can figure out which one they have, or two, or three, or all of them. Per chance.
Those that have the MacArthur Study Bible, there's 24 ministries of the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
On page 1487.
ESV. Okay. Yep. All right. So let's see, how many did Michael have? So he has more.
That's why I just wanted to bring it up.
Okay. Okay. No, that's great. That's great. Okay. All right. So the spiritual fruit, I'm sure you've heard of the fruit, right? The fruit of the Spirit. Yeah, everybody's heard of that. So we as Christians, we as in being imbued by the Holy Spirit, do we just have one of those fruits, you know, like a cherry or an apple or something? Or do we have the banana? Or do we have just one?
No.
Okay. What do we have?
Depends on the individual. So
maybe I think we have more than we realize.
We have all of them. We have all of them. Yes, this is the fruit of the Spirit. This is not the gifts. This is the fruit of the Spirit. So I want to differentiate. The fruit of the Spirit comes with the Spirit. These are things that you should be doing. And it kind of gets back to what Marilyn said earlier. Do we do all of these well? Probably not. We probably grieve the Holy Spirit a bit if we don't show mercy as much as we should, or kindness,
patience.
Oh, there's a good one.
Love, joy.
Anybody have any problem with patience?
No, but I did learn that you don't right. pray for patience.
Anxiety.
Yes, Meryl.
Be transformed by the renewing of our mind.
Amen.
Because the process goes on until.
Oh, the process continues. Amen. So with love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, we have all of those. The Holy Spirit brings those to us. I mean, those are attributes of the Holy Spirit within us. Those are attributes of being a Christian. But we may do better at some than others, but we have all of them, and we're supposed to.
We have to practice them.
We're supposed to practice them, yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. So I just want to point out that's the difference. The fruit of the Spirit is we have all of them, and we are supposed to practice them as Christians. And we probably come up a little short quite often. But I think that what really points to the Holy Spirit within you is you probably feel that when you don't quite get there. I think we feel that grieving of the Holy Spirit. We feel that we should do better. And we ask for the Lord's guidance. We ask for the Lord to show us the way. And I think that's what really shows that we are His. So when you go to Galatians 5:18 through 22, it's in the context of it, it's very evident that what is being written there, what is Paul is talking about, is the fruit of the Spirit is counter to our fleshly leanings. So I think that helps understand it as well. It is counter to our fleshly leanings, i.e. going into sin, going into the darkness. The fruit of the Spirit works against that directly. And so, once again, the Holy Spirit within us works against the darkness directly. And it's the fruit of the attributes, the fruit of the Spirit, which are directly overcoming and counter to the flesh. So I think that helps understand them as well. So let's get to gifts. Gifts. Everybody likes a gift. Let's try to unwrap them and figure out if you got a gift. Did you get a gift? Did you get a spiritual gift?
Yes.
Everybody should say yes. Everybody. Because it says very clearly in Scripture that everybody got at least one. Everybody. And that comes with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And as Christians, you've got at least one gift. And you may have gotten many. So don't think, oh, I just got one of these. You know, which one is it? Maybe you got three. Maybe you got four or five or seven. You know, just many, many, many. So, you know, spiritual gifts are God-given. God-given to believers. The big Lord. To believers to serve the church. To serve the body. That's where it starts. To serve the body. The good news is it says, quote, each one in at least two or three scriptures. Each one is gifted. So don't hide it. Don't sit on it. You got at least one. Everybody has at least one. And I would say you probably have more than that. So Jesus said he came to serve. He came to serve. It's really interesting because our spiritual gifts are focused on serving as well. Serving as well. As we go through them, you'll see that pretty much all of them should be focused on edifying and encouraging people. That's when you really know it's a spiritual gift. You know, you may have a talent and it makes you feel good. Maybe focused, maybe too far, too much inward. But if, so talents are a little bit different. You can be good at certain things. But spiritual gifts tend to edify, encourage believers, and spread the word of God. Those are what spiritual gifts do. And sometimes it may not be that easy to figure out exactly what your spiritual gift is. I have found that you get return on them. In other words, people talk to you and say, oh, that was so wonderful, and so thank you. Please continue doing this, or helping us out with this, or whatever. And do you also feel kind of the Holy Spirit's happy. You're using your spirit. I feel something inside when using a spiritual gift. Lynn, what would you say about how do you know the difference between a spiritual gift and just maybe a talent?
But if it's a spiritual gift and you're put into motion, you are energized.
Okay.
And by the time you're done, you're just almost, it can't be slowed down much. It takes a while to come down off of that high. It's kind of like any other time when you have a spiritual high. If it is you pressing toward the mark, you come out so tired. It was so hard. It is just you're just working uphill, and you know, oh, that was all me, Lord. It's time to confess. So that's the difference I can tell.
Okay, and that's well said. That's well said. So let's look at these gifts. Yes. Oh, yes, ma'am.
I think this gift is given by God. Mm-hmm. And the natural spirit is a human being. We work hard to accomplish and achieve the goal.
Okay.
That's what I would like to.
Okay. I think that we should use our talents and our spiritual gifts to serve God. So, I mean, if, for example, let's say you're a great musician or a good singer or something, and you want to be in the choir, and maybe that's a talent per se. And then maybe a spiritual gift would be leading the choir or leading music or worship service or whatever. But you can combine them and serve the Lord. David?
Maybe a discriminant is one is you're doing it for the glory of God. The other one is glorify ourself, our pride.
Could be, yeah. Okay. I want to be careful. You know, pride, and we kind of stomp on pride a lot. You know, being humble is a strength. Humility is a strength, because what you're saying is, I give everything to God, but God is giving me certain things and certain abilities, and you can take, you can be encouraged, you can enjoy serving God and doing things. You can be filled with just a euphoria that the Lord gives you of peace, of enjoyment, of joy, of happiness. So all of those things, I kind of want to differentiate from pride, because sometimes we kind of push pride as wicked and evil. But it's good to be confident. It's good to be encouraged. It's good to stand strong, because the Lord calls us to do that. So enjoy. Be joyful. So let's look at these gifts. So position gives first. In Ephesians 4, 1 through 7 and 11 through 13. And Ben, would you read those on the position gifts?
Okay. Therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. Those are all hard to do. Maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gifts. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ.
Thank you, sir. So here in Ephesians, we have a list of position gifts. So, I was thinking, okay, can I choose what I want? Okay, if I can choose what I want, Lord, I want to be an apostle. Oh, too late. Most of them were martyred. Never mind. Never mind, maybe not. Oh, I want to be a prophet. I can go around telling everybody what's about to happen. And then most of the prophets, remember Jesus said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that stoned all the prophets. So maybe I don't want to be a prophet because you get stoned the hard way. So I'm thinking, okay, well, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, that's a little safer, perhaps. Perhaps that's safer.
Musician, but, like this morning.
Thomas, you're looking perplexed. Or at least you're looking prepared to say something.
I'm more looking at we being instruments. And Holy Spirit picks us up. We happen to be a piccolo. And he knows how to play the piccolo. He knows how to use us. Ask for a certain gift. And he'll say, okay, go ahead and try. Find out that we are not a piccolo. If we're going to be used, we are the instrument. Like a glove without a hand in it.
All right, good. That's a good illustration.
God puts his hand on us and in us to work through us. There's the power. The glove now has energy and direction.
So that's a great illustration.
I just wait for him to say, Lord, what do you want me to do?
I love that. So we're an instrument, or you can look at us as a glove, and unless the Holy Spirit is in that glove directing us or playing the instrument that is the best for us, then we just don't get there. Yeah.
And
okay.
He chooses the instrument. I want you to be the bassoon.
Sure.
Oh, Lord, I don't want to be a bassoon. Okay,
so you would be
something else. Okay.
That's great. Yes, sir.
One of the things a gift is, receiving of someone, giving you something. But he gives it to you for a reason, not just for you, especially when it applies to the scriptures. He gave it to you to let him use you.
Oh, amen.
To fulfill that
to let
gift.
Him, yes, the gift is given to us to enable the Lord to use us so we can serve the church, right. Church body, and the Lord. Amen. Amen. So moving on to service gifts, I think this will be even closer to what we're doing, but Romans 12, and let's see, Virgil, would you read that, sir?
I appeal to you, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing if prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness.
Thank you. So we've gone from service gifts in Romans or position gifts, I'm sorry, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, and then we go to service gifts, and there is a couple that are in both, as you could see. But so we have prophecy, service, teachers, exhorters, givers, leaders, mercy, and I love that line that says with cheerfulness. So that means we should we shouldn't be walking around going, oh, I got to use my gift. We should be. Well, I think it gets back to Lynn. Lynn says that you really get encouraged when you're using your gift. You get this feedback from the Holy Spirit, I mean from the Lord. And so, and as you look at this, you know, it's, I would say that this is what really runs the church, are these gifts and us using these gifts. And in cheerfulness, in being, knowing which gifts that we enjoy doing and that the Lord is really fulfilling our lives because we're doing these things. And like I said, it doesn't necessarily have to be one thing. You can show gifts of mercy in pretty much everything you do. And so, and then we have the spiritual gifts in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians. So I wanted to get through these three since they're the main part. And 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 11. And let's see. Mary, would you read that?
Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills.
Okay, thank you. And then Steve, would you just go ahead and read the next one, which is 1 Corinthians 12, because it takes these and orders them.
God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles?
And the answer is no. But there's a more perfect way, and that's the next, which is love. Which is love. And so, and we'll finish with that. But, okay, so we've got a bunch of things here. And, you know, it's people always ask, okay, well, you know, we had certain gifts that in apostolic times, which our church believes that those were just during those times, the certain miracles and certain prophecies, and of course the apostles and the miracles that they could do. And I think the best way of looking at this is today there are not individuals running around who are a prophet and they're 100% accurate on what is to come. There are not individuals running around who are healers and who are 100% infallible on healing. They don't exist. So I think the best way of looking at this is saying, hey, the Lord can do whatever he wants. He is a miracle worker. Miracles happen when the Lord determines it. A person doesn't determine that a miracle is going to happen. A person does not determine that a miraculous healing is going to happen. But we believe in the church, as in James, that we bring the elders together and we pray over people, we anoint them, and that the Lord, the Holy Spirit, can work miracles, and we have seen it. It's not infallible by a long shot, but we follow the scripture and do what the Lord has asked us to do. So we've seen this pantheon here. The spiritual gifts, wisdom, words of knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, working of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, tongues, and interpretation. And then the appointment for the gifts in Corinthians, apostles first, prophets, teachers, miracles, healings, helping, administration, various tongues. And so we see a whole list of these gifts. So how do you pick the one you want? I said, Lord, I want to be a miracle worker. I want to walk around and do miracles. Said, Lord said, no, that doesn't fly in these days, but you can certainly pray for a miracle and the Lord can do it. But
as believers, we need to pray for discernment from the Lord, finding whatever gifts he has given us, as well as how he wants us to use those gifts. So discernment is the first step in this gift.
Sure. No, absolutely. And I think that's an important thing to point out is the Holy Spirit gives us discernment because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. We can see pretty quickly what is not true. We can see pretty quickly what is evil. We can see pretty quickly what is wrong. And remember, one of the attributes of the Holy Spirit was conviction. Conviction. And unfortunately, we're kind of the middle person here. The Holy Spirit is convicting the world of their sin, and that's coming through us because we shine the light. We shine the light.
He also convicts us when we're asking for discernment, and he gives us that discernment. He convicts us that this is his choice, and many times it's not our choice, and we say, "But Lord, I."
That's true. That's true. That's true. The Holy Spirit convicts us as well. and charges us. Yeah, absolutely. Lynn, you were going to add something?
As one of the grandparents in the room, you ask a grandchild what they want for their birthday. Depending on their age, it's just like people asking for spiritual gifts. The youngest asks for everything, a castle and a pony and it just gets bigger and bigger. And you know those aren't possibilities. It's kind of like the new Christian asking for all the gifts, Lord. I want to do everything, with great enthusiasm. But that is not how we will grow, so that's not what we get. The older the child, the more discerning they become about what's Grammy asking me? Why does she want me to, what does she want to know? And then they remember what they've asked before or asked someone else. And then they become very good about telling you what they really want, which is telling you about themselves, and that's what the grandparents want to know. What are they into? What are,
Sure, sure.
God has been growing us, so he knows what gift we need for what's coming ahead, which we don't know. We're happy in our strong gifts. You feel like, I do teaching. Okay, so I feel like I can teach different things. But that may not be what's coming around the corner from me that is needed. It may be things that I've got focused on. So the Lord steers me. But it's the Holy Spirit who empowers me to be doing whatever's coming around.
So we should be very much involved in asking, praying, seeking God's guidance in all of these. Absolutely. So, yes, sir.
Be careful what you ask for.
Well, don't ask for patience, that's for sure. Sherry used to tell me that all the time. Don't pray for patience because we may get tested.
you know the verse, I can't find it real quick, but pastors and teachers are held to a higher standard and you will be judged by God.
That is true. That is true. That is true. It says very clearly, teachers and those who are held to a higher standard because you are teaching folks, you're helping bring them to the Lord. So what should we be focusing on with our gifts, using our gifts? And I think this is great. The five E's, E is an echo. So equipping believers, edifying the church, establishing believers, effectiveness of the church, an exaltation of Christ. So that's kind of a neat five E's. Yeah, Gil?
Is that on this screen?
No, it is not. Yeah, I'll send it out. Sure.
What I was going to say is that when you are serving in exercise of your gifts, it ceases to be work.
and it's a joy.
Amen. Amen. Absolutely. And so the final thing is 1 Corinthians 13:4-7, and Paul lists these. He talks about the gifts and in various places, but then he says, as you're serving Christ, the most important thing to remember is love is the major thing. Love is number one. Love is patient, kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing. And underline, it rejoices with the truth. And who is the Spirit of Truth?
Jesus.
Amen. Amen. David.
Romans 8:26. The Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans and words cannot express. And he who searches our heart knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. Lord, we thank you for your word today. Be with us this week. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.